Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Big Blue Insider is on. News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome to the Big Blue Insider Thursday edition of our program. One step closer, one 24-hour period closer to game night, Wildcats at LSU. You'll hear it right here. We will chop it up quite a bit tonight. Tom Hart's going to join us. He is one of my faves. He's a play-by-play man for the SEC Network. He will work the game on Saturday, and a big baseball guy as well. Good guy, comes into the booth and visits with Tom and Jeff and all of us on the network crew, and a lot of fun to talk to as well. Keith Farmer from the BBN Tonight program, the UK TV network. We'll find out what they've got cooked up for the preview show on Saturday. And as always on Thursdays, Mr. Billy Rutledge will weigh in and help you with your fantasy football team. I've been moaning to him about mine because I had McCaffrey. I had the first pick, chose him, he gets hurt, traded him away. Now he's going to come back like a month early. So anyhow, and I trade for Joe Mixon, he's hurt now. So, well, anyway, we all have our problems, don't we? Baseball season's over for me. My beloved Cardinals last night. Great game. Dodgers-Cardinals, 1-1 game until a walk-off two-run bomb, which I knew was coming. Why did I know this? Well, they bring in a guy from a good bullpen, leave two people in the pen who I think were better, but, I mean, I don't know the way the manager does. But apparently, people who have covered and followed this team all year, according to social media, know a heck of a lot more than I do, and they're like, what the hell is this guy doing? But the biggest thing was, my guys leave 10 runners on base. 10. Against that Dodger, they scored in the first inning off Scherzer, the Warrior God, thanks to a wild pitch and some poor defense and a walk. They scratch across a run. They eventually, I won't say they knocked him out, but the Dodgers yanked him, went to their bullpen, which is great. But the Cardinals kept putting guys on base, kept leaving them there. So, you know, I don't want to say they deserve to lose, but they didn't deserve to win. So there you have it. Best of luck to whoever you root for. I haven't even decided. Billy, your team just gets started tonight, doesn't it?
Yep, they're going to take on the Red Sox, but I'm still having PTSD from them taking Blake Snell out of the series.
I know.
When he was working with a shutout.
Yeah, the same analytics that got them there said, take him out. And they just couldn't make themselves call it the way they felt it. Instead, they had to go with the spreadsheet. And who's to say? We'll always wonder, right? So, anyway. I hope you get that far again this year.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it, though. I mean, they got a good team. People are starting to root against the Rays, which is a good thing in my mind.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. 280-2287, 800-606-4263. Tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. Like I said, we're going to talk Kentucky football, and we talked a little bit or a lot last night with both Freddie Maggard and, or this week, Freddie Maggard and Derek Ramsey. And Freddie was Tuesday, Derek, so it's been quarterback week. And I've got a piece up on BigBlueInsider.com, and it's called The Best of Will Levis is Yet to Come. Kentucky will need it versus LSU. And what we basically did was pick up where Freddie left off and talk a little bit, or a lot, about Will Levis so far this year as the starting QB at Kentucky. He turned the nation on its ear in the opening win over Louisiana Monroe. 367 yards, and he only needed 18 completions to do that, Billy. So, you know, that's 20 yards per play. But he had those TD bombs that excited everybody. But since then, the numbers, of course, have calmed down considerably, which they're going to do. First of all, you're not playing a ULM every week. Secondly, you're playing SEC teams now. But should he be more productive right now? I believe he should be. I believe he could be. And I believe he will be. And Freddie said it, and I think you and I agree. I know I do. He needs to play. And we said this prior to the Florida game, and they basically got away with him not playing really well. He didn't play poorly. He had the one pick. And, you know, was the victim of a bad no-call on the Wandale Robinson long ball, which I think would have ended up in a completion, if not a touchdown. So his numbers would have looked a lot better. But they got away with him having just kind of a so-so game, thanks to defense, thanks to special teams. I don't believe that's going to happen this week. I think they've got to get points from the offense. And, of course, that starts with Will Levis.
Yeah, I want to see the offense win a game, not the defense. Because they've been playing great. Maybe the best they've played under Coach Stoops
in his
tenure.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think the ceiling is higher than what we've seen from Will Levis, and I expect more, especially in a quarterback-friendly offense like Liam Cohen has installed here. There have been some big moments. He's made some big plays, but surprising to see in your article that Kentucky, even including the ULM game, is 11th out of 14th in the SEC when it comes to passing.
Yeah.
I think what's offset that is those exciting plays that he does make, especially on the ground, whether it be him lowering a shoulder or hurdling a man, literally. There are times where he dives for the extra yards that I think other quarterbacks wouldn't. So, you know, it's all right there. I just think he's made a few too many mistakes with some overthrows.
Good news is he is ranked 6th in quarterback rating, which, of course, breaks down the entire position. He is quite a ways behind Matt Corral, which you can understand. The kid at Ole Miss, his QBR is like 170, and Levis is 140. So, you know, and nobody expects him to put up numbers. Like, it's Corral, I think. I can't even remember. Anyhow, but yeah, I don't expect him to put up ULM-type numbers. But a little more efficiency, more touchdowns, fewer interceptions.
Well, it's not going to get easier with Josh Ali on the sideline,
nope.
Dick.
And with, as Freddie pointed out, some big-time players in that LSU secondary. Even though they're missing one, maybe two, that is a strong position for LSU. So check it out, bigblueinsider.com, see what you think. And again, like Billy said, he's done a lot of good things. And the intangibles are leadership, how his team responds to him. And, yeah, when you go ahead first for a first down instead of sliding because you got to get those last couple of yards, when you hurdle a guy, when you put your shoulder through a linebacker, through an SEC linebacker, the way he did against Mizzou, their best tackler, he knocked him down to get a first down. You better believe your teammates appreciate that.
But is Kentucky's record still 5-0 if Terry Wilson is here and not Will Levis?
Given the way the defense has played, I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too.
With this offense, yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I do, too. All right, let's go to the phones. First, TJ and then Anthony. How you doing, TJ?
Hey, what's up, guys? Real quick, what does Chris Oates and Jared Lorenzen, rest in heaven, sir, have in common?
Number 22.
Does anybody know how much time was left in the fourth quarter on the fourth and goal play where Jacquez Jones tipped the pass to give Kentucky the win?
22 seconds.
Go back and look. 22 seconds were on the clock. Jared Lorenzen was looking down. Chris Oates' buddy BBN always thinks about you. We're praying for you. And, man, sports are beautiful. That's all I got to say.
Good call, TJ. Appreciate it. Wow. He's absolutely right. Wow.
Hollywood couldn't write that script.
No, you're right about that. And you'd get that slow zoom into the clock, wouldn't you, from Hollywood 22.
Yes.
Hi, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
What's up?
Dick and Billy. So what a coincidence that last caller had brought out.
Nailed
but
it.
What I want to bring out, let's go over the last 4 years with the University of Kentucky football team. Starting with 2018 and so forth, if you think about it, we were in contention of possibly of making the trip to Atlanta for the SEC championship.
Yep.
Now, come there 4 years later, we have the possibility of making it, a possibility of making it to the SEC championship. Whether Kentucky wins this game or not against LSU this weekend, even if they lose, they still got to play Georgia down in Georgia, which would be a advantage for Georgia. But the thing about it, Kentucky, even though last year's game against Georgia, I don't remember the score or anything like that, Kentucky has a history of playing great against Georgia, the Georgia Bulldogs. So it's got to be played on the field no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. The problem is that this is probably the best Georgia team, in my opinion, since maybe 2005.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
The David Pollack team. I mean, they are loaded.
Yeah.
And as you said, Anthony, it's going to be down between the hedges, which matters.
Yeah. You know, going back 2 years ago when Lynn Bolton was the quarterback, remember that rainy day?
Oh, yeah.
Rainy night down in Georgia, you may call it. Everyone went where it was. Man, I was truly impressed with Kentucky's defense against Georgia that particular night, which they held Georgia to what? At the end of three quarters, to 0-0? Kentucky couldn't mount no offense, if you remember, down that game down there.
Yeah.
I was impressed with the Wildcats then at that time, and that was a road game for them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Now, now we've gotten to the situation in the Stoops era over these last 4 years of talking about Kentucky possibly going to Atlanta for the SEC championship. And then if you think about it, if you go back to, a couple years ago, that was 4 years ago, it was against Georgia that stopped us from going to the SEC championship then. So could it be a paybacks in the works when they play Georgia 2 weeks from now?
It could.
A week from now?
It could. But I don't know how much the players are going to be thinking about that, but it would be great for the fans' sake, wouldn't it?
Oh, definitely, definitely. We definitely come out and whoop LSU just coming up this weekend, being 6-0 possibly.
Yeah.
But even if we 5-1, I still think there's talk. So it's exciting times for UK football. And now I think Stoops has probably got them on, our team now on a roll now of possibly making Atlanta, hopefully for the next couple of years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks, Anthony.
Okay.
Appreciate
it. Okay, we see you later.
All right. 280-2287-800-606-4263. Tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. Your thoughts on the upcoming game, really anything you want, on Will Levis, on Kentucky-Georgia. We are here for you. When we come back, we'll talk more about Kentucky-Georgia, but also about a former Louisville Cardinal involved in a real mess, a legal mess with the NBA and more, and your chance to be around some former Wildcats. Well, they're always going to be Wildcats, but great opportunity to meet and greet some of the best Wildcats ever. Back in a minute. Bottom of the hour, Tom Hart of the SEC Network here on 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Yeah, there will be pressure Saturday night. Pressure on both teams, though. Wildcats excited about the season, obviously undefeated. As Anthony said, take care of business, and then you take on Georgia. LSU possibly playing for the job of its coach, if not literally playing just to keep the Wolves away from the door, if you will. William tweeted at us, how effective will the tight ends be against the LSU secondary? Well, William, it depends on how much they throw, how much man-to-man LSU plays. I've got to think that, and Jeff Pecoro kind of prepped us Billy and me for this a week ago Monday about Florida, saying that they've got so many great athletes, the Gators, that he anticipated a lot of man-to-man, and we saw that. He also said the Gators would be holding all the time.
Holding on every play.
And wouldn't you know, Wandale Robinson is running past a defensive back to catch a touchdown bomb, and what happens? He's held not once but twice, neither one called.
Boy, that was a bad no call.
Yeah, oh my God.
And what was even better was Stoops' reaction to it all. I mean, you were right there. You were up and close look for that, weren't
God,
you?
I just, every time I see him, he works, the field judge is the guy right next to him, and he just, you know, and the line judge or the side judge, he just kills the nearest referee. But he knows what not to say, and there are people on the sidelines who are assigned to keep him away when they have to pull him away. So anyhow, I would love to see, and we all would, you know, Derek Ramsey talked about it, Freddie Maggard talked about it. Just got to figure out a way to make the, but you know what? If you're a Kentucky tight end, hey, catch the ball. Why don't you get the ball more? How do you get the ball more? Hey, comes your way, catch it. How about that? Bates made a tremendous, tremendous sliding catch in the end zone a couple of weeks ago. Great play. But you got to catch the easy ones as well. I know, easy for me to say, but you know what? They're out there every day practicing, and they're capable of doing it. And they've thrown at Cummings, they've thrown his way, Billy, but they just haven't been able to connect with him.
And he's also been the lead blocker a couple times
for
some running backs. So he's just kind of exploded through the hole like a cannon a couple of times.
Yeah. So could be a key. We'll have to revisit next week. Wouldn't that be fun if we're sitting here talking about a team that's 6-0? Man.
And then take on a team that they've scored a combined 3 points against in the last 2 years.
How about that? You know, you kind of forget that last year up here, 14-3. Georgia escaped. And I remember Georgia's coach saying, we're just glad to get, you know, an ugly win. Yeah, we're glad to get out of here with a win. That's what he said. Yeah, it was only 14-3, 7-3 at the half. Glad to get out of here with a win. Stetson Bennett only threw 9 of 13, two picks. Kentucky picked him off twice. 131 yards, right? Zamir White ran for 136 on 26 carries. That guy hurt him. He really hurt him. But Kentucky in the game through the fourth quarter. And as Billy said, no touchdown the year before either. That was the rain game, as Anthony brought up. Georgia did score. They came out and scored in the third quarter. It was zip-zip at the half, I can tell you that. 21-0 was the final. Wildcats dropped, and I think it was Rodriguez, dropped a pass wide open in the end zone first half. Would have made things really interesting. Now, 2018, Georgia really took it to the Wildcats. 34-17. Great crowd. Great crowd. And 2 years prior, that was another year where you beat Georgia, you got a real shot at going to Atlanta. That was an incredible game. 27-24. Field goal at the end wins it. I had kind of forgotten this one, going back and look at the scores. In 2014, Stoops' second year, and Georgia was in a bit of a rebuild itself. Billy, the Wildcats scored 31 points that year. 31. Trouble was Georgia scored 63.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, to Anthony, go ahead.
I was going to ask you if you remember who the quarterback was that year for Georgia.
I got to go back. I got to go back and look at that one. But really, you got to go back to 09 when the Wildcats won in Athens, 34-27. But let me tell you, that team, that Georgia team, nowhere nearly as good as this one. I mentioned the Hall of Fame, and we're running short on time, so we'll get to some of these names later. But both the 20 and 21 Kentucky Athletics Hall of Fame classes will be honored Thursday, November 4th. down at the Central Bank Center. I tell you, if you can go, give it a shot. Tickets are $100, but it's a cool event. And you're talking about a lot of big name Kentucky Wildcats who will be honored. We'll go over them in our next half hour. But Tom Hart has agreed to come on with us coming up in our next half hour here on 630 WLAP.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Yours truly, along with Billy Rutledge. Coming up Saturday night, Kentucky LSU. And, of course, Tom Leach, Jeff Pecoro, and yours truly with the broadcast on radio side. It'll be on the SEC TV network, and you've got an all-star lineup working there with Tom Hart, Jordan Rogers, Cole Kubelik. For my money, that's the best crew the SEC network has working. Mr. Hart is on our celebrity hotline. Tom, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm fantastic after that introduction, Dick. I only come on shows where they say great things about me, so well, apologize to those haters out there.
I'm an unabashed fan, and I'll get to why a little bit later on, but I want to jump right in here. I know you're studying, you're doing your homework. What are the storylines this week that you guys are pursuing?
Well, there's a number of them. I love doing conference games because there's storylines on both sides. With LSU, just to start, their biggest storyline is the future of Ed Orgeron and the coaching staff after having arguably the best college football season anyone has ever seen 2 years ago. Now there's a lot of heat on Coach O and his staff to try and figure things out and right the ship. And if they do so, they're going to have to do it without their All-American cornerback, Derek Stingley, who's a likely top 10, if not top 5 pick in next summer's NFL draft, but has a foot issue that he and his family has deemed is too serious to get him on the playing field. I don't think he'll play another game for LSU again. That is a major, major loss for an LSU defense. It's already had to deal with other injuries. Andre Anthony, a fantastic outside linebacker for him, has lost to an ACL a few weeks ago. So those are the biggest stories on the LSU side. And on the Kentucky side, Dick, I think it's just the continuing building of this program for Mark Stoops. The atmosphere last week was incredible.
Yep.
They made plays that winning teams make, and let's be honest, that hasn't always happened with this program. There have been great teams that have worn Kentucky uniforms that didn't make those plays, and you would remember the year, I want to say it was probably 16 or 17 at home against Florida, when they should have won the game and lost a lead and left wide receivers uncovered but twice, right?
Yep.
Great team, didn't make winning plays. This is a team that makes winning plays. But what I'm anxious to see is the continued development of this offense, because I think there's still a lot of room for improvement on the offensive side, and that's getting playmakers more involved, getting Wandale Robinson even more touches if you can, 15 touches a game maybe, and getting Will Levis in a position where he's striking the ball downfield. I think that's the next step for this team on the offensive side.
It's funny you said that, because we were just talking. I've got a column up on my website about Will Levis and the fact that, he turned the nation on its ear with the stats he put up against ULM, but all due respect, that's ULM. The SEC is a much different animal, as you know. And he's just been kind of hit and miss up until now. And I think that they got away with one against Florida with him playing so-so. I really think, Tom, he's got to play his best against LSU. And he's yet to show that, but he's a guy still learning to play in the SEC.
I compared the offense to pick your favorite, sports car, Lamborghini, Maserati, Ferrari, whatever it is. The body is there, right? The blueprint is there. Mark Stoops looked at what they had in the past, and some of that just bad luck with having to put a wide receiver at quarterback for an entire season. But he looked at what they had, and he looked at where the rest of college football was, and he said, we've got to hit the upgrade button. We've got to be more explosive offensively. So they've got the plan in place. My question is, do they have the engine that slides into that sports car? And it's less about Levis. Yes, he's the quarterback. All the attention is on him. And as great as Wandale Robinson has been, and I think the running backs are fantastic, do they have enough weapons on the perimeter to spread the ball around, wide receivers who make plays? And that might
to be quite frank, that might take another year to get a full wide receiver core in that can be difference makers. No one's going to compare what Kentucky is now to what Joe Burrow was at LSU 2 years ago, but using that as maybe a goal or just as an example, he had three first-round NFL wide receivers in that passing game. Yes, he was a Heisman Trophy winner, but he also had three first-rounders and a tight end who's now in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you got to have those pieces, and I think that's either the next step comes through recruiting / the transfer portal, or that next step comes from guys taking advantage of the opportunity, what could be an exciting offense.
Hey, Tom, this is Billy, and this is a little off topic, but there's just a strange thing about college football I can't wrap my head around, and that's a get-back coach. Like one of these grown men that are holding a head coach by their belt to make sure that they don't go on the playing field. I mean, is it kind of amazing how little self-restraint that we ask from these guys, or do you feel like it has its place?
I feel like it has its place, but what I feel like is the missed opportunity here is, I don't know if you guys are Ted Lasso fans, but he's taken this character who's coaching European soccer, has taken this American football mentality, and I feel like the writers, it's the one thing that they missed, right? Because you never see a European soccer coach in a $2,000 suit being held back by his headset wires or by somebody with two fingers inside his belt. That's the one thing Ted Lasso has really missed out on. I might send a note to our friends in Hollywood, see if they can add it.
I love it. There's, you know, the other thing that bugs me is after a extra point, there's always an assistant strength coach who runs out on the field and like beckons the players, like, come over here, get off the field. Like they didn't know where to go if they went out there telling them. So, but everybody needs a purpose in life, Tom. I think you'll agree with that. We're talking with Tom Martin. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it comes with a paycheck, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always good.
Talking to Tom Hart of the SEC Network, he will work the game with Jordan Rodgers and Cole Kubelik. And as I always say, God gave you two ears so you can listen to your radio with one ear and your TV with the other. But, of course, LSU comes in. You mentioned Ed Orgeron, and this is a guy who's got a national championship in his hip pocket. But having worked in that part of the world, I was down in Texas for a while, I know what LSU fans are like, and football down on the bayou, Tom, and they're not very forgiving, are they? And what a great, fertile recruiting territory. And to be struggling like this is kind of unheard of, isn't it?
Well, it's not unheard of in LSU's history. It's just the contrast of where they were 2 years ago, right? I mean, shoot, they've had plenty of, and I'm not calling Coach O a bad coach, but they've had plenty of bad coaches. I mean, their football history, like a lot of places, are we remember the high notes, but we kind of forget the mediocre teams. So Jerry DiNardo did not have a great run there as LSU head coach, and there's a lot of different examples you could use before Nick Saban kind of reignited the passion there. It's the surprise to me, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised by anything, is that we were in Baton Rouge, I think it was 3 weeks ago, and I had a fan look me in the eye. And he said, I'm telling you, the national championship was the worst thing that's ever happened. And, Dick, he was dead serious. You know, how many times, I'm a Braves fan, I can't, they're getting ready to start the playoffs tomorrow. How many times do people say, I would trade it all for this championship? But apparently there's some head shop in New Orleans with a voodoo doll in the middle of it, and Ed Orgeron's got a bunch of needles sticking out of his voodoo doll right now. So much has gone wrong, and that happens. And unless you're named Alabama, there's often a drop-off. Clemson deserves a lot of credit for continuing it. I just wish those same people would give Ed Orgeron the credit that he deserves for putting that staff together, for getting Joe Burrow to come to campus, for all the talent that they had on that team. It didn't happen overnight, and it didn't come out of thin air, so it's amazing. That was I was at the SEC championship game when LSU won it, and I did two other of their games that year, and there was a stadium full of people wearing purple and gold that would have done anything for a national title, and now that it's history, it seems that they want to rewrite their history books.
Tom, we've talked about Ed Orgeron and the possible coaching carousel with him this year, but what about Mark Stoops? Do you feel like he's Maximus in the center of the ring in Gladiator with his, are you not entertained at this point with the national level of coaching jobs?
We will, we're going to air something, I think, Saturday night if the editors got it done. I'll just give you guys a sneak peek. I don't know if you watch any of the real estate shows that are on all the home improvement networks, right? But there's one called Love It or List It, in which a couple looks at a house and they look at a remodel and they go through the entire remodel process and then they're given the choice. They either keep it or they put it on the market. And Mark Stoops has rebuilt this entire program, right? From where it was a tear down and a build up and two wins and five wins and five wins. And the foundation starts to get built and you start to see this house down the street come together. And man, you know, that Citrus Bowl season, it looked like that was about the tops. And now they've ripped a floor off and they've added another floor and maybe a pool and a fancy car with Will Levis and Wandale Robinson in the driveway. I think that he will have his choice of where to go. And what makes him interesting is his background, right? I mean, there's a lot of Big Ten programs that would love to have him. The Florida State ties. Obviously, the SEC programs that might have an opening coming forth. And let's not forget there are other coaches in this league that may move for other jobs. Miami could be open. Michigan could be open. Nebraska is likely to be open. LSU might be open. The carousel will continue to spin. And I would say whatever opportunities he has earned. And Kentucky fans should be thankful for that, remembering where this program was. And I've always said if a coach does well enough at your program that somebody else wants to double his pay, then he's going to likely leave your place in a better spot than he found it. The biggest question will be, after all of this rehab, will Mark Stoops want to love it and stay or list it and move on to the next shiny thing?
Yeah, if somebody offers him crazy money, you cannot blame him for leaving. But yeah, it's going to be fascinating. You love to be in his shoes, but got to finish the deal here. And by the way, I never watch those channels, Tom, because my set never deviates from the SEC network. You should know that. Before I let you go, well, I'm about to throw some more at you. Before I let you go, I just got to tell you that I get to do some play-by-play on SEC Plus baseball and volleyball and some women's basketball, things like that. You are my favorite kind of play-by-play guy, and this, I know it's a personal thing with me, but I know some folks agree with me, but you are a TV guy who does not do radio play-by-play on television, and nothing drives me crazy more than that. I've got pictures in front of me. I can see if a guy swung and missed, and to me, the way you do it is tougher because you've got to help build that image without stating the obvious. And I know you've done radio as well, so just real quickly, if you'd indulge me, tell me about jumping back and forth and how you've decided not to fall into that trap.
That's a great question, and I think there are people who've been doing this for years who don't understand the difference. So you and I have the same ear for that. To me, what it boils down to, and I'm going to put the end at the beginning of this, but what it boils down to is knowing the product well enough and knowing the content well enough that you don't have to remind yourself by saying it out loud. A lot of times, that's what folks do. I don't know every nuance of this. I don't know the stories by heart without looking, so I just have to read everything, and I just have to spill everything out. To me, what I think sets our group apart and our presentation apart, and we harp on it, and I try to do this for every sport, and because I feel it fits every sport, is when people are at home watching, they want to feel like they're at the game.
Yep.
If you talk to them nonstop and you give them a monologue in their ear, they're going to feel like they're at the game, but they're going to feel like they're sitting next to their annoying brother-in-law. And nobody wants to be next to that guy. So I feel like we talk less. We show you the field and the stadium more. Yep. We make a concerted effort, and I work hard with my producer on this. We try not to clutter the screen with useless replays and big old graphics.
This scene
at Kroger Field Saturday night is going to be what sells the game. Jordan Rodgers and Cole Kublik are great partners. Nobody watches more film than those two guys. Mm-hmm. They could break down everything from the A gap to the Z gap, from the goal line to goal line, and you would be smarter for it. But that's not why you're there. You're there, especially on Saturday night with this atmosphere. You're going to want to see the color and the pageantry and hear Waka Flocka Flame song playing in the background and guys swaying on the sideline and on the 35 before they kick off. And if we're showing you a bunch of junk, you're not going to see any of that. Yeah. So that's kind of, I know that's a long-winded answer, Dick, but that's always been my goal, is just get out of the way of the game.
Yeah.
Punctuate it when it needs punctuation. But otherwise, if you had a narrator that read every word, you would quickly turn the movie off.
Yeah, like I said, you know, when a guy swings and misses, that's what the camera's there for me. You don't need to tell me that. Guy drops back the throw, I can see that. Thank you very much. But you're right about your broadcast partners and your network. I mean, you guys all do a great job. Chris Doering's one of our favorites. He's a regular guest on our show, and he was one of the first. He and Peter Burns. I mean, in 2018, during the summer, like, this Kentucky team's going to win 8 or 9 or 10 games, and they were right on it. So you guys do your homework, and that's always appreciated. Looking forward to seeing you, and I will watch the replay when I get home. Safe travels, and I hope you have a great game to call.
Thanks to both of you. Thanks for having me on. Look forward to seeing everybody on Saturday. Appreciate it, Dick.
Thanks.
All righty.
That's Tom Hart, SEC Network. You know what I mean, Billy? I mean, you're a broadcaster. You've done some play-by-play, but it drives me nuts. When a TV guy, if you close your eyes, you don't need the pictures. Well, that's not the gig, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure it's easy to mess up, too. Some lifelong broadcasters doing one and the other. But I think there is definitely a way you can enhance it by doing less.
And I can tell you from experience, having done both, it's tougher. You think it's easier on television? No, it's tough. You're painting that word picture on a radio, and it's fun. I love it. And when you're on TV, you've got to use the video. You got to keep an eye on the game and an eye on your monitor and make it all work. And, they do a great job on the SEC Network. We're back in a minute, 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Thanks again to Tom Hart for joining us. Thanks to you all for kind of indulging me, but I'd always wanted to ask him about that. Talked about the Kentucky Athletic Hall of Fame, the folks who are going in both from 20 and 21. We all know what happened last year. Starts at 5:30 on November 4. That's a Thursday with cocktail hour, dinner, and induction, 6:30 p.m. And let me remind you, a couple of years ago, this is when John Wall was inducted and pulled out his UK jersey. I love it because these people, John Wall, those guys, they don't care about their one and done. John Wall, who not only came back to get his degree because he told his mom that he would, put his UK jersey on while he gave his induction speech, or his acceptance speech, and dedicated it to his mother. Broke down in tears. It's unbelievable. And then, of course, we missed out last year. So, 2021 class, Betty Lou Evans coached the golf team for 23 years. Kendra Harrison, currently the world record holder in the 100-meter hurdles. How about that? National Track Athlete of the Year, her senior year when she was an NCAA champion. Nazee Muhammad, two-time NCAA champion, 18 years in the NBA. Billy, he played more games. He had a longer career in the NBA than any Wildcat in the history of the program.
Wow.
And won an NBA title with San Antonio in 05. Scouting for the Thunder right now. Larry Warford. This is one of the great mysteries of the NFL, if you ask me. Pro Bowl, O-lineman, 2017, 18, 19. Sat out because of COVID in 2020. Couldn't get hired this year. All the bad offensive lines out there. Maybe he doesn't want to come back. I can't imagine. But he helped UK to two bowl games during his career. He was a precursor to the Big Blue Wall. Bob Whalen, indoor NCAA championship in the mile, 1990. Aaron Wright, women's soccer. Then in 2020's class, Sean DeBell, great softball player, led Kentucky to its first four NCAA tournament appearances and UK's first super regional. Great pitcher. Sawyer Carroll, baseball back in the mid-aughts, first team All-American in 08. That guy was a line drive hitting machine. Ron Mercer, one of Nazi's teammates on the 96 title team and helped the team get to the championship game in 97. A.J. Reed, most accomplished player in UK baseball history. Danny Trevathan, two-time All-American linebacker, Super Bowl champion. And Wayne Turner, another two-time championship winner. This is going to be a cool night, November 4th. Check it out if you can. Hour number two is next, 630 WLAP.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.